praise the Lord. Are you happy to be here? Amen. Happy to be hearing your word today. Amen. Let's all stand if you'd like. And just bow our heads as we open the service. Father, Lord, we're truly appreciative. Oh, God, our hearts just jump with joy with knowledge that it's, Father, time to come and to hear you speak to us under the anointing of thy Spirit. Lord, Father, hear what you have for us. You know our hearts and our lives. You know where we're at in our walk with you. You know where we need strengthened or corrected or whatever it is, Father. You know all about us. So, Lord, we're truly thankful. Lord, we want to draw closer to you every day, every step we take. And Father, that's why we've gathered around your word today, wherever we may be, Father, whether we're in a building or in our homes or wherever it is, we gather around to hear you speak to us. Anoint our hearts and our ears with understanding is our prayer. Draw us ever close to thee. We'll give you the glory and honor and praise in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Oh, I love him. Turn with me, if you would, in our Only Believe books, page 43. Come and dine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you heard the call? Amen. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Amen. Oh, come and dine, Master calleth. And dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called to them, come and dine, amen. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time, amen. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turn water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white. And with Jesus they will feast eternally, amen. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Amen. Have you answered the call? Amen. Are you gathered around his table? Hallelujah. Amen. Page 42, right above there. Amen. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain, nor death can enter there. I feel like, amen, hallelujah, amen. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair.
I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly hope is bright and fair. Yes, I feel like traveling on. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly hope is bright and fair. Oh, I feel like traveling on.
Amen. Do you feel like traveling on? Oh, glory, saints. It ain't going to be long. We'll be able to go home to be with him. Amen. Page 107. Same books there. Amen. Hallelujah.
There's a country far beyond the starry sky.
Think about it.
Oh, the city where there never comes a night. If we're faithful, we shall go there by and by. Oh, it's the city where the Lamb is the light.
Hallelujah.
Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and it's free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is the light. Here we have our days of sunshine, but we know that the sun which shines upon us now so bright will be changed to clouds of rain until we go. Oh, to the city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion. It's free from toil and care. I am going where the land is alive. There the flowers bloom forever and the day. Oh, shall be one eternal day without a night. And our tears shall be forever wiped away. Oh, in the city where the land is alive.
Amen.
Oh, in that city where the Lamb is alive. Oh, in that city where there cometh no night. Oh, I've a mansion over there, and it's free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is alive. Oh, here we have our disappointments all the while, and our fondest hope but meet with bitter blight. Though by night we weep, the morning brings a smile. In that city where the Lamb is the light.
Hallelujah.
Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where there cometh no night. Oh, I've a mansion over there, and it's free from toil and care. I am going where the land is alive. There the sunlight fades, let twilight bring its gloom. Oh, not a shadow can my blissful soul affright. For I know that up in heaven there is room. In that city where the land is alive. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is alive. Oh, in that city where there cometh no night. Oh, I've a mansion over there, and it's free from toil and care. I am going where.
have a mansion over there, and it's free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is alive. Amen. Looking forward to that day. Amen. Go home to be with Him throughout eternity. Praise His holy name. Oh, He's so wonderful. Let's stand if you'd like to take a request. How many have something on your heart? A need, a request, a loved one? Amen. Just hold it on your heart. He knows all about it. Praise His name. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You so much. Lord, it's such a privilege to be able to serve a living God. Lord, a God we know that's alive, well. Lord, even to think that You come down on this earth and walk through life. So, Father, You know what we go through. Lord, every need that we might have, You've already experienced it. You felt the pain, agonies. Lord, You've been in times where You didn't have a place to lay Your head. So You know all about the troubles and trials we go through on earth. And Lord, the peoples have heart on their hearts, needs and requests. We pray that You would just reach down Your hand and with the abundance of heaven, meet those needs, Lord. Oh, God. May they be able to have faith for it, Father. Just claim it, knowing it, you are ours, You paid for it, You give it to us. Lord, the only thing that holds us back from the riches of heaven is our own unbelief. So, Father, Lord, we pray for everyone. Lord, grant us faith. Grant us, Lord, revelation. We can claim that. And, Lord, truly may we, as we receive it, and we thank You for it, may we testify of the goodness You show in our lives, that You may get the glory and honor. Father, for we know that You are our healer, our redeemer, our savior, our provider. Oh, God, may we never fail to spread Your word, Lord, to all we come in contact. Lord, we thank You so much. And Father, the remainder of the service, Father, we pray that You would just bless it. Lord, just bless every phase. Lord, Your word, when it comes forth, may our hearts be pulling. And Lord, may the pastor feel, Lord, the pull and make it easy on him. We thank You so much. Draw us closer to Thee now, we ask in Your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise His holy name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Would we have a special this morning? Grace, you got one? I ask you if you'd come. Thank you. Let's all stand, if you would. Sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Ask our brother to come.
Let us just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we just listen to that little song that she sang, and how true it is, what a friend we have in Jesus. And truly, Lord, a real friend you are. You know all about us, Lord. You know what we have need of, and you're always there to help. And Lord, a friend that promised us that you'd never leave us nor forsake us. How we greatly appreciate you, Lord. We're asking again today now that you would open our hearts to the Word of God. And Lord, by your mercy and grace, may you place something down on the inside that hungers for the Word. For you told us, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Oh, what a blessing it is, Lord, to hunger. So we ask now that you'd feed us today and open the Word of God into our hearts. We thank you again, Lord, for everything. In your gracious holy name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we are very happy to be here again this morning. I'm sure each one of you are. And trust that we'll be able to say something today that will be of help to you and strength and encouragement, and to understand a greater way to walk with the Lord. And like I say, may we just be attentive to hear the word today. Amen. And those that's listening, I don't know how many is, but those that's listening, may there be something said to you at home too through this word that'll be strengthening to you also. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians in the 6th chapter, if you have your Bibles with you. And or those maybe sitting at home, get your Bible with you. I encourage you to do so, to open it up and follow along with us. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6th chapter, and we'll begin 19th verse, and we'll just read 20th with it. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. Our last few services, we've been on the talking about the real true baptism of the Holy Ghost, a real true new birth, something that is vindicated by the word of God to be true in your life. And so I want you to follow along with me again this morning, and let's measure ourselves up by the word of God. It's what the scripture tells us to do, because if we try to measure ourselves up by ourselves, it's not wise, the scripture says, you see. So I'm going to turn, if you want to turn with me too, to 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter, and we'll read this portion too, 1 Corinthians the 3rd chapter and 16-17 verse. Let's go ahead and read this one too. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, if we could just, even those couple verses, really catch a genuine understanding of it. How wonderful it is. If we just catch a few words in there that's we could highlight maybe for you. To start with, he says, know ye not you are the temple of God? How could you even begin to think how blessed an individual is, or how privileged the individual is, that they're the temple of God? The very God that created all things. I mean, and to be his temple? Wow, that's very wonderful, you know, very great privilege to be one of those. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, and again, that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Imagine and just think a little bit how blessed and privileged that individual would be, that the Spirit of God would dwell on him. Wow. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Now think of that. Jesus said, taught through these apostles, these prophets, that the temple of God was holy. Wow. Which temple you are? Ye are, he says. So what is this all about, again, to think of these things and to understand these things? We'll eventually get back to them. But before I do, I'd like to read a couple things here that, again, and refresh your mind too. One of them I read last week, but one of them I didn't. But again, to think of the time we're living in now, just to renew our minds back to it. We're living in that time, and that's what he's going to tell us here and show us again, that people, as he said in another quote we already read, can believe they're Christians, when they're not. That's how deceiving, much of a deceiving age it is, or would be, which is now, in this day. And it's still just almost hard to believe that you could be living in a time where people could really honestly, and people were sincere about it, and believe they're Christians, and not be. It's just, it's a terrible age we live in, but yet it's a great time we're living in, you see. So we find here, he says here, anointed one's the end time. He says here, paragraph 51, he says, he that abideth in me, him that was in my root at the beginning, that's the reason Jesus was both the root and offspring of David. He was before David, in David, and after David, both root and offspring of David, the morning star, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, Alpha and Omega, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, both root and offspring of David. He that is the elected life. That's what it's come down to now. Okay? And we'll see it scripturally. This is what the prophet is telling us here. But we'll see it scripturally, what he's talking about. He that is the elected life, the predestinated life, he says, that's in me, that's in you. Okay? All right? And he is the Word from the beginning when he comes forth. He'll bear my fruits. Who will? The predestinated, the elected of God will bear the fruits of Christ. Okay? St. John 14, 12. But others, that's what it says, but others will live by the same thing, calling themselves Christians and believers. Now, if you've got eyes to see, you'll see exactly what he's saying. Calling themselves Christians and believers. But he says, it's not all that saith Lord, Lord will enter in. Now, and this is to take place, this is when this was to take place, and be manifested in the last days. So this is the day when this is going to happen. Where people thinks, if they'd say, Lord, Lord, say they believe, even think that they have the truth, and yet shall not enter in. This is that day. Okay? And this is to take place and be manifested in the last days when the mysteries of God should be finished. Did not he do that? Revelation 10? Absolutely. When the prophet came, he says, as we get to a little later. So we find here, as I said, I've been speaking on these things these last few services and meditating upon it and trying to draw our attention to it, because we are living in that time, in that day, when the very thinking faculty of man can actually have the thoughts and thoughts be processing through their mind, through a carnal way of thinking, and imagine that they're well filled with the Spirit. They can imagine they've gotten in contact with something real and genuine, and they received it. They can actually think this, you see. And then you wonder why the ministry would be so concerned, knowing this is the day, this is the hour. And there has to be a genuine vindication come forth through a people, in a people, that'll prove it's true, prove it's genuine, prove it's real baptism of the Holy Ghost, filled with it. A real, genuine new birth, instead of just people talking about it. People claiming on it, put claims on, then you never see anything change, and their little things they've stopped doing or started doing a little better, you know, and things is getting a little better, but nothing really ever happened other than a little bit of sanctification. See? This is that day we're living in. So again, this is why we are so concerned. And you'll see how this will fit right in. Those that understand, it'll fit right in with souls in prison. Now, It's the time we're living in. It's not maybe. It's not to come 10 years from now. It's the time we're living in now. It's vindicated. Where people will believe they're Christians when they're not. It's being vindicated. You see. So we'll read another one here. He says here in Satan's Eden, this one we read last week. The prophet's saying here, paragraph 19. Now we read also Revelation 3:14 in Laodicean Church Age that how the church would be in the last days, and it would be, it says, it would sit as a widow and have need of nothing. It was rich and increased in goods, and know it not that they were poor, miserable, wretched, blind, naked, and didn't know it. Okay? Now remember, he is speaking to the church of this age. Wretched, blind, naked, and don't know it. Okay? That last phrase, don't know it. He said that last word is what makes it so striking. This is the time we're in, friends. Whether we want to admit it or not, it is the time. It's already been vindicated. It's proven it is. Okay? That means one thing, the Lord is about to appear. You see? He said it makes it so striking that they think they're well filled with the Spirit. Now, can you? It's still just almost hard to believe. As smart as the human race is supposed to be. I mean, you know, we're way above apes and monkeys and things like that, you know. And there's a lot of animals that's got a lot of smarts about them, if you want to say it that way, but they learn by habit, and they retain these things, and they can do things and sometimes do some tremendous tricks and things, you know. They're well-trained people. And yet to think of the animal race and the human race, to think how smart it's supposed to be. To think, how could it be so deceived to thinking it's well filled with the Spirit, have a new birth? Really think that and be sincere about it. Really honestly feel they are. But yet the identification isn't there. And when things happen for the that takes that identification away or prevents it from being there, they don't even recognize it. They're just flubbing up. They've just got problems, you know. I've never seen anything where God yet, from Genesis to Revelation, when he said something, promised something, or said something he would do, I've never seen it mess up. I've never seen it fail. It's always happened exactly like he said. So, I mean, if he says what he does when he fills somebody with a real genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, gives them a new birth, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to happen exactly like he said. There's not going to be in between. There's not a new black and white dog. It's going to be exactly what God promised it would be. Now, man's trying to mix it up like he does everything else through Satan's deceit. And he's tried to add this and tried to add that, make excuses for us to why we can't do this or why we ain't doing it. But it all goes back, what does God's Word say? Now, I know things, maybe still, even maybe today, some things will be said that maybe some will not quite understand. And because maybe you don't know maybe the Scriptures and maybe know the Word, some others do in different things. But again, the only thing I can stand here as a minister and say, if you have a predestinated seed laying down inside you, it is impossible for you to give up. There'll be something on the inside burning. I want to know. I want to understand these things. Amen. And some of the things I'll say today ain't baby's milk. No. It's meat. You know? And sometimes babies can't chew things up, you know, and swallow them. But that's when you got to cry out to God for help. Ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. And then it all starts from there. He begins to open your understanding to things, you see. Did you understand? But I would, even if I was in that condition, I would much rather find the truth now or understand the truth now than have to wait and stand before God in judgment, you see. Now is the time to make sure you get what you need, you see? And again, if that little gene of life is laying in there, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to hunger and pull you until it'll pull you right where you need to be in Christ, you see? So let's go on now. But keeping that in mind, we find that why it's so important to have this new birth. I mean, why is it so such a great of a thing? You know, because back in Pentecost, I remember I was just a child, and I could remember the older folks talking back then and things. The big and most greatest concern was, guess what? Speak in tongues. As long as they spoke in tongues, they had her whipped. But it was sad so many times, the many that spoke in tongues, you couldn't tell they was a Christian. In other words, those that was genuine, genuinely filled with the Holy Ghost, yeah, spoke in tongues, and life changed. Yeah. But there was many that spoke in tongues and lived like the devil himself. But they walked around with this little assurance in their little mind, little heart, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost because I spoke in tongues. That's where false doctrine will get you. You don't understand the ways of God, you see. So we want to make sure there is no false doctrine, but everything is true and scripturally truth of what God is requiring this day. When he said a token, which was the baptism of the Holy Ghost, a new birth, had to be, it has to be, or we ain't going in. No. We may think we are, we may hope that we are, but without the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, you ain't going nowhere other than hell. See? So let's read, if you want to follow along with me, let's go back now to Colossians 3. And let's read this first verse. And on down to about the fourth. Colossians 3, and begin the first verse. If ye then be risen with Christ, now listen to that, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Okay? Now if you've went through this process of being filled with the Holy Spirit, you've received a new birth, you realize by faith you've risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above. That's when all the things of the world become strangely dim. You no more have the desire for it. It's all changing now. It's all different now. Maybe your next high was the most important thing to you. Find what drug you could get, or how much alcohol you could get, or what some kind of entertainment you could get to kind of get your mind off of things and make you a little bit happy for a few moments. But that all changes, you see. Seek those things which are above, which Christ, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Now look how many times people still, they've claimed a new birth and their affections are still on things of the earth. Again, proving it isn't there. Yeah, maybe in their thinking facility, if they're thinking, oh my, I'm born again, you know, I got an excitement one night, or I felt the Spirit move some one night, you know, a long time ago, you know. But it'd go on to the new birth, okay? He says, for ye are dead. And we'll talk just a little bit about what died, you know. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Okay? Now if I take, we talked about a glove a little bit ago, but if we take a glove and I've got a pocket knife and I hide that pocket knife down in that glove, yeah, you can no longer see that pocket knife because it's in that glove, and that glove is Christ. You see? Now we are to be hid in Christ. So what are you going to see, the knife or the glove? You're going to see the glove, not the knife. Okay? That's the problem people just can't seem to get. They think they can have a new birth and filled with the Holy Spirit and the knife still be seen. that's where you're not born again. But when you've received the new birth that's down in the glove and that's hidden in Christ, and you no longer see anything what you used to be, all you want to see now is Christ, His life. Okay? He says, "For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life..." Listen to that. I read it last week, but let's just make sure we get this before we go on. "When Christ, who is our life..." I'll repeat it again. "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory." That's the only way you will, is when Christ is living through you. That's... is a process. Okay? I'm going to read Souls in Prison, something the prophet said, and then we're going to go back and read some more scripture. I'll probably read a few more quotes, and then we'll go back to scriptures. But he says here in Souls in Prison, paragraph 36, "Now the soul of man is not the body of man." Again, get this good before we go on. "The soul of man is not the body of man, it's the soul." Okay? "And the soul is something that's the nature of the spirit. And then when the nature of man..." He stops there and says, "When he said, 'We are dead,'" which I just read in Colossians 3, "'We are dead,' the scripture plainly tells us that. We are dead and our lives are hid in God through Christ, sealed there by the Holy Spirit. Now, it wasn't your body died..." Okay, this see, taste, feel, smell here. Wasn't the body that died. "It wasn't your spirit that died." Okay, imagination, affection, conscience, memory, reasoning. "It was the nature of your spirit died. The nature which is the soul." Okay, again, to refresh your minds. We haven't went too far into it yet, but again, the elected or predestinated, we'll get into it a little bit later. The elected predestinated was born with two. And the nature of God lays there dormant until the worldly nature is killed by the Holy Ghost fire. Okay? "It was the nature of your spirit that died, the nature which is the soul. The nature of your soul is God." Wow. Now you got God in you? Absolutely. When you receive a real, genuine new birth, now you've got God in you. And remember, the soul is what controls the spirit, and the spirit controls the flesh, the body. So now what's in the control seat? God. His nature. His characteristics. Now tell me you won't be able to tell a person is changed once and for all and genuinely changed if God dwells in the seat of your heart. "The nature of your soul is God if you're born again." Okay? If it's not, it's of the world. So if you're not born again, it's still of the world. So of the world, it desires the pleasures, carnality, filth, anything that's of the world that takes you away from God. See, it desires that. It wants that. Of course, then if it desires that, if that's your desire, what are you going to do? What your desire is. Okay? Anything that begin has to end. Okay? So therefore, the only way that you can have eternal life is to have a life that never did begin. That's why the elected or predestinated was born with two natures. Okay? So when that worldly nature dies through the process of the Holy Ghost fire killing it, the nature of God begins to live. And now, again, I repeat, is when you see the change in your life and the desires is altogether different. Okay? "And then your life did begin when you were born, when God breathed the breath of life in your nostrils and you became a living soul. Then you begin then. But," he says, "the nature that was in you, by nature, you was of the world." Talk about that first nature. "And you was alienated from God." Okay, so he was illinated. It was the knife outside the glove. Okay? And all you seen was that old carnal knife. Yeah. It's all you seen. But through that sin-killing process of the Holy Ghost fire, it kills that nature you was born with. Again, now you're hidden Christ. And it's all gone. You're smoking, cursing, drinking, carrying on, acting like some child. You know, a lot of people think, oh, that's not childish, me having a cigarette in my mouth. I'm a tough guy. You're showing you're the biggest baby that walks the face of the earth. You got to have a pacifier in your face. You got to have alcohol to ease your mind, to make it get by another day. Tell me that ain't childish. It is so foolish and so childish. You got to have some kind of drug to ease your mind. Tell me that ain't babyfied. You see? For when you become a man, you put away all those childish things. When you become a man in Christ, you put away all those childish things, friend. You see? But people, you might sit there deceived in your own thoughts and thinking, you're a tough man, you're a tough guy, you're a tough woman, you're this, that, and the other, because I can do these things, and I can inhale this, and I can do that. Again, you're just showing how childish you are. Not man enough to get rid of it. Not man enough to stand for what's right. And the things, the elements that Satan has put on this earth controls your very thinking. Where if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then Christ comes in and controls your thinking. Now you can become a man. Yeah. You say, well, I could beat the tar out of you, preacher. You might be able to, but that's just beast in you. That's nothing of God, you see. Amen. But if the Holy Spirit's in there, you'll love. You'll do kind and do good to others. You'll think no evil. Yeah. If the Holy Ghost is there. Okay? So let's go on. I want to get to, hopefully, at a certain point this morning. But I'm just taking it slow. Make sure you get it. All right? Future home, we'll read this one, and then we'll move on to something different. In the future, the prophet says, see, the heart has to be cleansed like that. Now, you might be saying, oh, you're reading all the things this prophet said. Well, this prophet, what he was saying, was the vindicated prophet of the age. And it's no different to the prophets in this Bible that wrote this Bible. You see? And the thing of it is, but that's another understanding. All right? But we'll go back here in a moment and we'll prove it scripturally. Okay? See, the heart has to be cleansed like that before God can come down in the person of the Holy Ghost, which is Christ coming down and dwell in the human heart. It first must be repented. That's what we talked about, brought up Acts 2:38. That's what he's speaking of here. It must be baptized in water in his name to show who it belongs to. Then it must be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Then the holy fire and Holy Ghost. Okay, we talked about that being the greatest cleansing of all germs and viruses is that fire from God comes down and burns out all the desire for sin. Yeah. All the nature of the world, that Holy Ghost fire cleans it out. Okay? And therefore, he that sins willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, he goes on to say, and then again the Bible says it's impossible for a man that's born of God cannot sin. Sin is unbelief, see? He does not sin. There is no way for him to sin. How can he be a sinner and redeemed at the same time? I didn't say you'd never make a mistake. Let me make that clear. You may be trapped into something. Satan may put something out there and trap you into something. But your desire is not to do that thing. You see? Maybe you wasn't prayed up like you should be. Maybe you hadn't studied the Word like you should. And Satan lays a trap out there and you fall for it. But immediately you'll realize that wasn't right. And you'll immediately take it before the Lord and put it under the blood of Christ and ask God to forgive you. And cry out to God to help you to never do that again. You see. When he says here sin, sin is unbelief. You see. All right. There is no way for him to sin. How can he be a sinner and redeemed at the same time? All right, let's go on another one real quickly. God who's rich in mercy. Now he says here, and this was January 19, 1965. Now I might inject a little bit of doctrine here. If you don't believe it, all right. Now just keep in mind, again, I'll say this in case you're not catching it. I'm going to go back scripturally and prove these things. Okay, so you don't think it's just some man saying these things. to show you it's in continuity with Scripture. And what this prophet is saying, he's saying what that Scripture says. Okay? And he says here, if that's okay, he said, I do believe it. He said, a man, when he is born in this world, that when you're a little baby, born in the world, you could not have been here without being the foreknowledge of God. Okay? Because he is infinite, and he knows all things. And when the little baby is born into the world, which we all was, I think we was all born as babies, wasn't we? Absolutely. We was born in this world. There is something in that baby. If he ever is going to have life, there's a little something there in that child then that he comes to sooner or later. That little seed is in him or her. Okay? Now, the Scriptures plainly declare that, he says. Okay? Now, if you've got eternal life tonight, you may even sit there and be sitting there listening to me, and you may not have the new birth yet. Okay? You may not have received the Holy Ghost yet. But if you have that gene of life laying in you, listen, you will come to life sometime or another. It has to. Okay? He says, because there is only one form of eternal life, we always were. Now listen to that. We always were. He always was eternal. Now he's talking about in the thoughts of God. Which is another message, but we can't go that direction yet. And the reason we were is because we are part of God. A part of God? Well, sure, if you've got eternal life, you had to be a part of God because he's the only one with eternal life. So you had to be a part of him. Okay? And God is the only thing that's eternal. And like Melchizedek, received tithes from Abraham. I'll tell you, before I read that, let me go to Romans 8th chapter. Let me read over here a little bit. If you want to turn with me, Romans 8, and we'll get into 28th verse. Let's go through some of these things first. Romans 8, 28. Now listen to these things. Don't just let pass over you. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. The only way you can really love God is through the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Because the Holy Ghost is the gift God gives you to love him. And to obey him. You see? All right? He says, all things work together, together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You mean there's a calling involved? Absolutely. For whom he did foreknow. Now, if you look it up, foreknow is to have the knowledge beforehand. He was in the thoughts of God before time began. Okay? Because God is eternal. He never did begin. He's eternal. So he was in his thoughts before time ever began, before this earth was ever formed. Okay? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. In other words, he predetermined. He determined you had eternal life. Then. You always was. And it was predetermined before the world was ever formed. He was always in the thoughts of God. Okay? He said, and he also did predestinate to be conformed. Now listen to the next thing. Predestinated, okay? It was already in his mind before the world was ever formed. It was already predetermined that you, if you predestinated, would be conformed to the image of his son. You would be conformed, which I think we wrote that down, to have the same character or same nature as he does. Now think of that. You was predetermined to have the same nature, same character that Christ had. Now think of that. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Say, well, let's see. Go back to 2 Peter. I think I've got that printed out here. 2 Peter. Let's go back there. Yeah, here it is. 2 Peter. Let's read this. 2 Peter, 1st chapter. Just so you know what he's, again, talking about. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. pay attention to that. Be conformed to the image of his son. Okay? 2 Peter, 1st chapter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied. Now look where grace and peace, how it's multiplied. Unto you, you as an individual, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And that's what this word will give you. Grace and peace by you receiving the knowledge of God's word. Okay? According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life. There's that equipment. God gave you the equipment we spoke about a couple weeks ago. The right equipment. The equipment that was exactly needed that you would be this individual to have eternal life. And that you would be this one that could be born again. This one that could be filled with the Holy Ghost. This one that could be led by the Holy Spirit. This, you are the ones, if you're predestinated, you've been given this equipment. Okay? According as divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Okay? Which is to have his holiness, to have his characteristics, have his nature. Okay? He has given us all things. All things. To have that. So it's nothing you can do in yourself. Nothing I could do myself. It's what he gives us. It's what he already seen and predetermined before the earth was ever formed. He would give you when you got here on earth. Okay? Pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us, and it's so wonderful how he just gives it all. Everything that's needed. It's so glorious. If we can only believe him and trust him. You see. Whereby are given unto us exceeding, not just a little bit, exceeding. It's abundance, friend. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Promises. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, and this promise is unto you, and then your children, and them are far off. He gave you the promises. Oh, my. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers. Oh, what is that? Or companions, or partnership, or in fellowship with all that he is. That's what the original Greek says. Yeah. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. There's only one divine, that's God himself. The divine nature, his divine characteristics. Partaker of that? Yeah. Now we're talking about real Christians. Real born again believers. Real, true, Holy Ghost filled people. Instead of people just saying, I'm born again, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And you have to struggle to find it, if there's anything there. You'd have to strain to even see if it's even begin to get like Christ and have his characteristics. Yeah. When someone comes up and smacks you on one cheek, and you can turn the other one and forgive that person and still love that person. Oh. We're talking about characteristics beyond this carnal nature that we was born with. Yeah. We're talking about people being able to really love their enemies. We're talking about people that really want to do everything and anything and whatever pleases God. You see? Oh my. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption or the destruction or moral decay, friends. And look at the height of moral decay there is in this world now. It's getting so sick, friends. So terrible. Oh. But through what he has given us and equipped us with, we're able to escape all that corruption, destruction, moral decay. Yeah. Mordecai? Yeah, Mordecai. Look at them taking meth and all this stuff. Moral decay, and it even ruins their body. Rots their teeth out of their head. Brings sores all over the body. Losing weight and look like skeletons. Talk about moral decay. Only for a few moments of a high to forget troubles. I'm going to tell you, friends, if you get filled with Christ in your life, filled with that Holy Spirit, oh my, you can forget all, because there's peace then in the time of trouble. You don't need no drug. You don't need no alcohol. No. You don't need none of those things. Just get in Christ, and it's all gone. And you'll have peace in a time of trouble. That's why you see so many, even people that call themselves Christians, that have no peace. They don't have peace. Things happen, things go on, and they immediately get all nervous and all uptight and worried and so frustrated because they're lacking something. God doesn't lie. The fruits of the Spirit is peace, joy. Yeah, God don't lie. Now, people try to make it, God changed his mind and lightened it up for 2020. But he didn't lighten it up for nobody. It is exactly what he said it would be. You see? It's just they don't have the Holy Ghost. They just aren't born again. You see? All right. I hate to make it sound like it's so stiff, friends, but you've got to remember one thing. How one day I'll have to stand before the Lord. And if I don't tell you the truth now, where am I going to be? When I'm required to tell you the truth, whether it hurts you or whether it doesn't hurt you, or whether you get excited about it, or whether you get happy about receiving it, or whether you hate me about it, or whatever. I've got to stand before God one day, and I've got to stand before Him knowing I told you the truth. Regardless if it hurt your feelings, regardless if it made you sad, but I trust one thing, it'll make you, if you've got anything on the inside, it'll stir you to a place you'll cry out to God, I need you, Lord, as Peter cried out. When Peter began to sink, when he seen the Lord Jesus stand there on the water, and the Lord Jesus bid him to come. Why, Peter, he had all this confidence. That was the Lord Jesus standing. He was going to go right out there. But then when he seen the waves begin to hit him, friends, they begin to get high. The water was really getting rough. He began to doubt. And he sunk. Oh, my. And he began to cry out, Lord Jesus, save me. Help me, Lord. I'll perish. Until we come to that point, friends, you'll never make it. Never. No. But it's God's grace and mercy that puts something down on the inside to crave for that, that longs for that. You say, how do you know? Because I experienced it, friends. I know about it. I know all about it by His mercy and grace, you see. So that's why I can tell others about it. Okay? So we find we can be partakers of that divine nature. Just think of that. And guess what? That's what the true elect will do. They are. Now, that's born again, filled with the Spirit of God, are partakers of that divine nature. And you see it on them. You see it in their life. Yeah. You see everywhere they go. Places that wherever they may be, people that maybe not even know the Bible much will see something different about you. Yeah. People that don't even know you will see something about you. They don't understand it maybe, but they know you have something very strange maybe, but it seems to them so genuine and so real. You see? I could tell you many experiences myself by God's grace and mercy. Give you little examples. One time I was in a place, people all around, sinners everywhere, filthy looking people, which you just go downtown Logan and see that. And a man walks up to me, never seen me in my life, walks up to me and he said, something different about you. He said, are you a minister? I said, yes. He said, I thought you was. Just by watching you. What did he see? I don't know. I wouldn't try and do anything different. I wouldn't try to do anything different. But yet he's seen that. I don't know what he's seen. I was just living normal, I thought, what my desires was, doing what was right, you know. But people notice things, friends. And some people hunger to see those things. Some people want to see something genuine so bad, so real, so right. And that's when you're salty, friends. That's what salty is all about. Be salty, that others will want to drink. And I trust my life will be salty, that it will cause people to want to drink. May that be every one of us' desire, you see. All right, so there's something people see. Partakers of the divine nature of God. His very characteristics, his very actions, the way he would handle things. Yeah, that's what they see. I had another experience where a woman come up to me and just chewing on me and just screaming at me. And the other men standing back. And the one man, after it was all over with, he said, "Wow, you took out like a trooper. I could have never done that. Could have never have done that. I don't know how you did that. But my, that was amazing. I was just living what was in my heart, you know? You're not trying to put on anything. You're not trying to make something happen. You're just living. It's just Christ living in you. You see? It just comes, what Brother Branham say? It just comes automatically. Amen. Automatically. It's not a thing you become a Christian and then you try to do this and you try to be like that and you try to be like this. No, your life's changed. You're just that. It's Christ living in you now. That's what Paul was saying, Galatians 2:20. I live. And Paul used to live one time where he was wanting to see the Christians killed, destroyed, put in jail. Just do something, get rid of them. But Paul said, now I live. But now yet it's not I. It is Christ that liveth in me. That's being partakers of the divine nature of God. It is Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, what did he say next? I live by the faith, which is revelation of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All right? Let's go on. Excuse me. All right, so we find here, let's go on back in this Romans 8 chapter now. For whom he did foreknow, what time is it getting to be? Time's flying. For whom he did foreknow, this was Romans 8:29, Ron. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, if there's something in your heart at all, you'll see all these things gel together. Okay? That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate. Now, there it is again. Them whom he did predestinate. Now, how people can say there's no predestination, it's amazing. Because it's all over the place. And as I said, it's a sad thing. The Pentecostals are one of the worst people about it. You see. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now remember what we read, what those things mean. Predestinate was predetermined. Okay? Them whom he called, and whom he called, or in other words, he invited you in by drawing you. Okay? You may sit there right now and be listening to what I'm saying, reading these things. And there may be something drawing you right now, drawing you. You say, well, I don't know. I don't quite maybe understand that. Or maybe I'm not looking at this the right way. I'll tell you what. When you're a sinner and the things of the world, you see something, maybe people doing things. Maybe you see them out there, their wife's half naked and you're wearing shorts and other people's out there drinking booze and having a good old time sitting on the beach. And you have a draw in your heart to do the same thing. Or maybe you sit there and think, I ain't got the money to go nowhere, but boy, if I did, I'd be in the same place. That's what a draw is. But it's the wrong draw. But this draw is, it brings you into Christ and brings you in the right way. You see? There's something to this drawing, you see? This invitation you feel in your heart from God. Okay? He says here, and whom he justified, let's back up, and whom he called, also called, and whom he called them, he also justified. He made a way for you. before the world was ever formed, that before him you would stand as though you never sinned in the first place. That is glorious. That's a wonderful place to be in. That's what he does for you. Like I said, we could take a message in that itself. He also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified, or he magnified, or esteemed you glorious. You see? All right? What shall we then say to these things? Now, if you're one of these predestinated ones, and God has moved you in this position, gave you the equipment, filled you with the Holy Ghost, killed that worldly nature, and the nature of God living in you now. Oh my, listen to what he says. What shall we then say to these things? If you're one, filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't have to rely on booze no more, you don't have to rely on drugs anymore. You don't have to rely on trying to find some pleasure of life to do in the carnal, worldly realm to make you happy. No. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Seriously. If God be for us, who could be against us? Because there's nothing can come against you to destroy you. They might even destroy this flesh. Yeah. But they can never destroy you, which is the soul, the real you. Nah. Can't do it. No way it can happen. Okay? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Do you see yourself in there? Us all? By grace, do you see yourself there? But delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He'll give you every piece of equipment you need, friends. There's no problem. He'll take care of it. He'll fix you up. If you're predestinated, he fixed you up before the world was ever formed. Yeah. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Now, you might experience of coming into Christ and give your life to the Lord and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And there might be people still hold things against you. They might try to say, yeah, you're not real and you're not this. And they say, who can hold anything to the charge of God's elect when God took care of it? You see? It is God that justifieth. They may still say, you've done this in the past and you've done that in the past. You was an alcoholic in the past. Or you was a drug addict in the past. Don't worry about that, friends. God will take care of it. It's what God thinks, not what people think. So don't worry about if he changes you today what you was yesterday. Don't worry about it. Because it's all taken care of. As I say, and the most important thing is what God thinks. You see. And of course, his other sons and daughters, predestinated, will see it the same way he sees it. You might come out of the world and then you maybe yesterday was on the biggest high you ever been on. Maybe the biggest drug thing you ever been involved in. It might have been the thing you was the most biggest alcoholic there ever was. And God take that out of your heart and get you where you belong, fill you with the Holy Spirit, and I'll guarantee you a true son or daughter of God will never hold that against you. Never. If they do, they need a new birth, you see. All right, so don't worry about that, what's going to happen. No, and what you did in the past, God will take care of it. He already has, you see. You just got to come the route he said to come. All right. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I'll guarantee you, don't worry about it, friends. God got it taken care of, you see. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is there anything come along and separate us from the love of Christ? Once you've received a new birth and Christ is living in you, is there anything could come along and separate you from that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. As Paul says here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? Friends, you see people that claim to be born again, and distress separates them. They want to give up. Yeah. They become saddened, down in the dumps, as your old saying is. Do they really get something or not? Is there really something there? Persecution? Oh my. People saying things about you. Now that you become a Christian, and I say, "Well, you old fanatic, you holy roller, and you're crazy for believing such stuff as that." Is persecution going to separate you? Huh? Not if you really have Christ on the inside. No. Persecution or famine? Not having anything to eat, maybe. Maybe no meat to eat. No vegetables to eat. Barely living on very little food. Is famine going to do this? Separate you? No. Or nakedness? Is nakedness going to? Peril? Dangerous? Sword even? Somebody going holding a gun to your head? Is that going to make you give up? Look where the apostles would have been if when they was threatened after they received the new birth. What kind of example they would have set if they had gave up. But Apostle Paul even said right to the chopping block, "I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. There is laid up me a crown." Oh my. When Apostle Peter, they went to hang him on a cross. That persecution hit him heavy. And they was going to hang him on a cross just like they did his Lord, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he went as far as to say, "Don't hang me upright. I'm not worthy to hang in the same position as my Lord hung in. Hang me upside down." Did he give away and walk away because did he all of a sudden say, "I'm not this, I'm not that. I just forget I'm one of them Christians." No. He went clear to the end and even hung upside down. Yeah. But look at the people today because of persecution will walk away from God because they're afraid of what their friends is going to say. Not even hang on a cross. Not even have a sword put to their throat. Not even have a gun put to their head. Just their friends making fun of them. They don't want to go through that. They think that's too much. I'm not going to get in this position to make my friends make fun of me. Friends, don't worry. You won't be there. No. Don't worry, you won't be there. He that can't even hate father and mother for my sake is not worthy to be called mine. How can you put your hand to the plow and look back and think you're worthy? No. You start out for God. How can you do? And then turn away. No. You didn't have it in the first place. So make sure you get it in the first place. And all these problems you're thinking about will be no longer problems. No. You won't be thinking of that problem or what your friends is going to think about you. You're not going to worry about what people are going to say about you if you give your life to Christ and what they hold against you in your past. You ain't going to worry about it. No. Not when God does the real thing in your heart. You won't worry about it at all. You see? As is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long." You see? "We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Yielded to Christ. Whatever He wants in your life, it's like our Lord Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Can we have that in our hearts? Even us established Christians, we call ourselves. Maybe our strengthened, solid believers we say that we are. Can we pass the test of some of these things that the Scripture is speaking of? Or would it be a little bit too much for us? "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." More than conquerors. Not just a conqueror, but more than conquerors through Christ. "For I am persuaded." Are we fully assured? That's what persuaded is. Are we fully assured? Completely assured. When you're fully assured, friends, there's no room for anything to move in and take its place. It's fully assured. Fully assured that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, friends. And when Christ is living in you, friends, there's nothing can take him out of there. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Because he promised. And he keeps those promises, you see. So, what time? I'm going to have to quit. Maybe the Lord will pick it up this evening. Because I'd like to get to a certain point there. So we'll close there. And once you, one of you sisters, I guess one of these here, come on up the instrument and we'll sing a little song. Amen. Praise the Lord. I trust it'll be help to you, I should say, and strength to you, and encouragement to you. And you, I know sometimes maybe it seems like, oh, it just seems so awful hard. But yet, why would you listen to it? Why would you long to listen to it? Why would you hunger for it? And I trust that the people still are. I trust there'll not be one quite listening to it, but they will hunger for it. Because again, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. But I'd like to sing this little chorus here. And I would just actually sing the chorus of it as Sweet Holy Spirit. It's on page 277 in your large books. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Amen. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, hallelujah, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Sing one more time. Yes. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, again, we ask, Lord Jesus, that these words that we've renewed our minds with today to, that you'll let it strike every heart of those that has listened. May it strike the heart, Lord, of the young person. Lord, and maybe yet there's something pulled on the inside. They want to find you, Lord. They want you in their life. May they be able to see these things, and may your Holy Spirit open their heart to it. May those, Lord, if there be any sinners listening, or maybe somebody that's just not quite sure, Lord, where they're at in life, maybe they desire a greater walk with you and just don't quite understand how and why. But Lord Jesus, you're the one that is the provider of all things we have need of. Not just thinking, Lord, of the material things in life, but Father, greater than that is the spiritual things. You, Lord, are the great provider, Jehovah Jireh, that will meet every need of our spiritual life. And Father, help every one of us to yield to you in a greater way. Lord, we know that you're about to appear. Everything is pointing to it. The things that's taking place in Israel, Lord, and all the great things that's happening throughout the land, and all the plagues and different diseases, and Lord, man's hearts failing for fear. All these things, Lord, the earthquakes, all these things, Father, your scripture spoke that would happen. And Father, we're looking forward to the appearing of the Lord Jesus. And Father, how we feel in our hearts the desire to bring forth the word of God that will set them free. And let them recognize and realize, Lord, what's needed in their life. Yes, we could stand up here, Lord, and just keep telling people how good they are and how nice they are and all those good things. But Lord, would that wake us up? Would that shake us, Lord, and cause our hearts to be pricked? Oftentimes, even through the scripture, Lord, when those apostles begin to speak things, it was very hard to people to understand, and things that was against their flesh. Then's when their hearts were pricked. And that's when they begin to cry out, then what do we do? Oh, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this promise is unto you and to your children and to them that are far off, and as many as the Lord thy God shall call. And Lord, we're so thankful for that call down on the inside. That drawing we feel even now, Lord, to get closer to you and let you have a greater preeminence in our lives. We appreciate it greatly. Just go with us now and keep us safe as we travel back to our homes, Lord, and bless those as they sit in their homes. Lord, we're looking for the day and long for the day to be back all gathered here again. And Lord, to be able to all be around you and to worship you and to praise you and gather around your word. And Lord, until then, we just yield to you whatever you want, Lord. We bless your holy name now. In your glorious name we pray, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. May the Lord Jesus richly bless you all. You're dismissed. Amen. Praise God.